Okay. Well, we've been doing the last year and a half or so, we'll continue just for today, is going through the Gemara on Lamed Ches Omer Aleph through Mem Omer Aleph. As we started, we went through Chav Ches to Chav Tes, and now I'm skipping to Lamed Ches to Mem, and then we're going to go back to Chav Tes. But again, what we've been doing is we started off by analyzing different perspectives on how Ches Kas Gimel Shanim works. What are the different models? What is the different opinions on how the mechanism of a three-year chazaka works? And last year and a half, as I said last week and a little bit of the week before, we've just been going through some of the issues of mecha. How is it that you neutralize a chazaka? How do you oppose a chazaka? How do you challenge a chazaka? So these are the Mishnah and the Gemara is from Lamed Ches Omer Aleph through Mem Omer Aleph. So again, I'm just kind of reorganizing a little bit. I just think that logically, once we understand the nature of Ches Kas Gimel Shanim, which we've talked about, so this is going to be highlighted further by, and in turn, we're going to understand better what the issues are in Mecha. So in terms of the general relationship, what we're saying is that the more the chazaka of Gimel Shanim is based on real muksakus and tvisa, I mean the idea that somebody's living in the karka for 3 years, that establishes him as a real tofes, comparable to metaltalin, so then the pressure is going to be on the marakama, right? How is he going to neutralize that kind of mechanism? So obviously the challenge becomes more difficult to justify. The possibility that the challenge includes very formal components to it, that it's a legal challenge and therefore it has to be properly structured, and that we're very sensitive to the details of it, all that makes a great deal of sense. On the other hand, as we've explained, if we take the views that say that Ches Kas Gimel Shanim is really very problematic, very tenuous, meaning really in karka there should never be any kind of tvisa, and really the marakama should always be in the stronger position. So then it's more difficult to justify the chazaka, and it's much easier to explain the mechanism of challenge and how it is that you eradicate the chazaka. It doesn't take much. And of course this is highlighted particularly by the view that the only reason that the machzik wins is not because of anything that he does, but the perspective that says the marakama's silence in the face of provocation is the strongest piece of evidence supporting the view of the machzik. In which case, the challenge doesn't need to accomplish anything beyond the simple reality of making clear that there is no silence. Right? If the marakama is making noise, essentially, if he's objecting, then I don't care whether he formalizes his objection. None of that is really very significant. Right? The main point is always going to be the main point is going to be. I appreciate that. What? Yeah. Like I say, l'chaim. The main point is going to be simply that this basis of shtika doesn't exist. So we already started with the Mishnah on Lamed Ches Omer Aleph. We discussed the parallel. We pointed out that there's a debate in the Gemara whether mecha shelo b'fanav hava mecha, whether a long distance challenge works, so you have to be present and looking the machzik in the eye when you challenge his chazaka. We discussed all of that, and we particularly discussed the idea that mecha shelo b'fanav is based on the interesting principle of chabra chabra islay, the grapevine. The idea that when you tell somebody or when you tell a few people something, you can presume, you can count on the fact that the word will get out and that the machzik will hear about it. So what we tried to do is compare that assumption with the assumption of kol in other contexts, like a milva be'edim or b'shtar, right, with regard to Nechasa Mishubadim. Again, the details are not important for right now. B'fana Nechta, B'fana Nechta. Tosis' discussion of Lamed Ches Omer Beis. And Lashon Hara, Koldim is Amra, B'fnei Shlosho, which we'll get back to again today a little bit. Anything that is said in the presence of three people Leis ba mishum lishna visha. There's no longer a problem of lashon hara. So we discussed all of that. Then we also were discussing what happens on Lamed Ches on the base when a person levels an objection or a challenge, but he does so in a way which seems compromised. It seems like he's qualifying his challenge. For example, he happens to make the challenge in the presence of individuals who don't themselves have the ability to carry the word forward. Let's say, l'fnei b'nei adam she'einam yecholim lomar. So what will happen in that case? That's a debate between Rav and Shmuel. And what we saw there, again, is that the Rishonim have two basic opinions. What is the problem? If I take people who are Zakenim or Cholim, right, to themselves don't have the ability to convey the message, to transmit this challenge, so Rav is of the opinion that that compromises the Mecha. It's not a good Mecha. So the question is, why not? What's the problem with that Mecha? And what we saw is that there are 2 days in the Ritva. The Ritva has 1 day on which he says, the problem is that the witnessing audience, the audience that hears, the Einu Micholim the Lomarlo, they draw a conclusion from the fact that they happen to be the ones who were selected for this task. They say, listen, how come he chose us out of everybody? Is this his way of saying, I want to be on record, right, but I don't want this to get back to the Machzik? That's the Ritva here on the last, this new group of, page 2. We have two Ritvas in the end. The first one is La Fuke Midishmuel, the second to last piece on page 2. La Fuke Midishmuel, Damar Avanan, Barav Chabrach, Im Tamar, but the Shmuel, Leitz, Leitz, Tamar, the Chabrach, Hecha Avim Makal Shalom, Afan of Makal Bialma, Yishomar, Shiny Hacha, the Kibin, the Chazu, Zakain, and the Kolin, Elu, She'ena Mocha, El, Lifnehem, since the people who don't have this ability to transmit the message, right, wonder why they were singled out, and they conclude, Svurim, the Kopid Hulagamri, Ukilu Amar Lehem Lo Tafiko Lechushuta. It's as if he told them, suppress the Mecha. And if they're getting the message, suppress the Mecha, then the likelihood that Chabra Yisrael, that this will be carried forward to the Machzik, you know, has also been undermined. On the other hand, the next Ritva, talking about the Gemara in Lamed Tesam and Aleph, says, Rav Huna Amar Kol Milsa Dolar Mevechule, V'Huchas HaKevot, Say, Mi U'micha B'fnei B'nei Adam Shein Nicholim Lomar, Gili Milsa Ika She'osa Dvar B'mat Munios, V'Shelo Kedin Mocha, V'Hainu Dolar Minon D'Pligi Ha D'Shmuel. Here we have a slightly different emphasis, and that is the idea that if he's singling out people who are less likely to be effective transmitters of the message, so something is shady about all of this. He doesn't want this transmitted because, in fact, he's a liar, and he'd prefer to be on record, but that the Machzik not hear about it. So the question isn't effectiveness of the communication. The question is sincerity of the challenge. And that's what the Ramban says on Mem Beis Amud Aleph as well. When the Ramban says, that the basis of Cheskas Kibbul Shanim is Shtikas Marakama, the silence of the Marakama. So the Ramban then asks, but if that's true, why should there be limits? Why does the Gemara have all sorts of cases where it seems that the Mecha is ineffective? After all, if the rationale of Gimel Shanim is the fact that the Machzik is supposed to have a shtar and he doesn't, and it's based on extending the period of his obligation to hold on to a shtar, so then the Mecha has to be effective because the Machzik has to hear about it. And then we understand that in cases where it's less effective, there's less likelihood that he'll hear about it, so then the Mecha is no good and the Chazaka will stand. But if Shtikas Marakama is the basis of Cheskas Kibbul Shanim, so then one would think that any Mecha should be enough. Because any Mecha is an eradication of his silence, and that's all we really care about. No silence, right? No Chazaka. And either way, he's not silent. So the Ramban says, no. When he's mocheb, if neishnei bnei adam, she'enem yicholim lomar lo, or if he says, we'll see in a minute, lo tafiku l'chu shuta, if he tells the people, I'm upset, he's a trespasser, don't breathe a word of it. Right? So then, it's likely that the reason for that is because bo shemenu, because really he's hiding something, and he really doesn't want it to be known. So it's not that, you know, in that case you haven't eradicated his silence. It's a noisy silence, right? But his, you know, his plan all along is basically to be on record, but not to be held accountable. Right? That doesn't constitute a real challenge. So basically what we have in these Gemaras are two totally opposite approaches to Mecha. One of which says Mecha is anything that establishes his sincerity, his objection, irrespective of the impact on the Machzik. The other one which says that's not enough. What you really need is that the Machzik himself hear about this. So the let's continue with the Gemara in light of this. And see what other issues come up as we go forward. So the Gemara says, I think we stopped on Lamed Ches on the base on the bottom.
Rabbi, what does he really gain by hiding his machor? He hopes that the
Mazik
will lose his shtar.
Right.
But he can accomplish possession by giving a valid machor.
Not really, because let's say he's lying. The question is this: if he's lying, which is, we're not sure. Right, there are two people making opposite claims. There's a 50% chance that either one is lying. Right? Now, if the Marakama is lying, so then the best policy for him is to be on record, so it looks like he's objecting seriously, but not to be held accountable for his objection, because he doesn't want the Machzik to hear about it and hold on to his shtar. That's a problem. If he's an honest man, he shouldn't care, and he should want the, he should say, Adarabba, I know he doesn't have a shtar, I'd rather he hear about it, so it's clear to the world that he had plenty of time to preserve his shtar, right, but he just doesn't have one. But if he's dishonest, so what could be better than being on record, right, that you're objecting, that you're not being silent, and saying, no, what can we do? He doesn't, you know, the fact is that, you know, there's no shtar one way or another, so it's his word against my word, and I'm on record as objecting. As opposed to, he hears it within 3 years, he holds on to his shtar, they come to court, and the Marakama is proven in front of the world to be a liar. So there's a definite benefit if he's lying, and we have to hedge our bets because one of these two people are lying. That's really the psychology here. Now, the Gemara says, Heichi Dami Mecha, three lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Amrav Zid.
Why does he have to hold on to the shtar for once the Mochzik has shown his shtar and they're aiding
him? No, if he's shown his shtar, no problem.
So
the problem is,
he can burn it afterwards.
Yeah. If the aidim have seen it, if somebody's seen it, sure. 100%. The problem is, the case we're talking about is that you know, no one has ever seen this shtar.
Okay, well,
he's claiming shtar hayalivi avad.
Once he presents it, he's finished.
Yeah, that's great. If he presents, if the challenge comes within 3 years, and he produces a shtar, he wins the case.
Because he can never challenge again.
He can never, not on this basis. I mean, right. Not on the basis of the Marakama. He's the new Marakama. The old Marakama has been relegated to, you know, history. He's irrelevant.
You've been mentioning before that, like, the timeline starts again. He has to hold it for another 3 years.
After Mecha. After Mecha, when there's never been a shtar. In other words, within 2 years, I'm Mocha.
Yeah.
So now he has to hold on to his... Now, for the next, at least, 3 more years, at least till year 5, if not year 6, if not forever, he better hold on to his shtar. We're talking about the case hasn't come to court yet.
2 years, the guy's Mocha, he presents the shtar.
No, the case didn't come to court yet.
He didn't present the shtar.
He's still in China. Aspambia. You know, he's in Spain. So he hasn't come back yet, and the other fellow hasn't... If he could produce a shtar, then that fellow, the Marakam, is finished. There's no question about that.
On the Rambam that we finished up last week,
yeah,
he says the startling thing, why should he be mafsid if he has a shtar?
No, he's saying... If you had a shtar, then it's your own. No one saw the shtar. He said, your claim that you had a shtar is not credible. And even if it's true, since you had plenty of warning, because we believe that you did hear within 3 years that somebody was challenging you, and yet you didn't preserve your shtar. So either you're lying to begin with and you never had a shtar, or you're careless, in which case it's your own fault that you're losing this case. That's the Rambam's argument. Rambam starts off by saying, in the halakha, right, let the machzik claim I didn't hear about it. I never heard the machzik, therefore I didn't hold on to the shtar. But I had one. Now I don't anymore, but I did. But no one ever saw it. It's a phantom. But that's the problem. If anybody ever saw the shtar that we believe, in other words, not his brother or his brother-in-law, I mean, you know, two Aiden, the Bezdin. If somebody saw the shtar, then there's no more Marakama. The Marakama is not a Marakama anymore. Right? But what the Rambam is saying is, let's say we believe you, at minimum, at maximum, you lied about the whole thing. Either way, you lose. That's important.
Can you be a Marakama without having a shtar?
Can you yourself be a Marakama? There are three ways to be a Marakama, mostly, according to most Rishonim. The general consensus of Rishonim is, you can establish yourself as a Marakama in one of three ways. By shtar, by Edim, or by Hodas Baldin. If the Machzik says, it's true, you were the owner, and that's the only way we know about it, that's called Hodas Baldin, that'll work too. Now the question is, if he says, you were the owner, and that's the only evidence, but I bought it from you, well, that's called Peshas or Peshihit there. That's where you get your Ksuvis issues. That's the famous, the Gemara says in the Mishnah, the Gemara in Ksuvis, in the second parak, Zayinu Beis, Zayinu Aleph, seems to say that even if there's no Gimel Shanim, if it's a straight case, meaning if I say, if I'm living in the Karka for 1 year, and then the guy says, what are you doing with my land? And the guy says, your land? You don't have any evidence that it's your land, but it happens to be your land. I am the source that it's your land. But I have to tell you, while it was your land, I bought it from you. So that's called Pesha Asar Peshihita, or Migu, depending on Rashi and Tosis, but that's either Peshas or Peshihit or Migu, and that wins. That's the Gemara says, or Yeshua says, even without Gimel Shanim, since the source for his being Marakama is me, the Machzik, and me, the Machzik, is claiming also, I'm claiming that I bought it from him, Peshasar, meaning I put myself in a hole by admitting that he's the Marakama. He doesn't have any independent verification of that. Who a Peshihit here? Or Migu, however you want to explain it. However, the question is, let's say somebody else says, let's say there's a third party. Let's say you have the Marakama, then you have this fellow who's living in the Karka, and he says, I didn't buy it from you, I bought it from the guy who bought it from you. I bought it from the guy who claims he bought it from you. But he's also the one who told me that it's yours. So the Marakama's claim to fame, his claim to this Karka, comes from that Mocher. The phantom Mocher. Right? So would you say, Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitir, that the Mocher had he been here, or had he been the Baldabar here, can that be transferred to the Lokeach? That's already complicated. That's a debate between the Ramban and the Raivid, and others on Lamed Amin Aleph. We'll get to that.
Could the Muslim feel comfortable that I don't have a shtar, but I have Edom?
If he has Edom, he's better. If the Masik has either Edom or shtar, there's no case. Remember, if Adam say that he bought the karka, or Ashtar says he bought the karka, then the Marakama is history. Everything that we're talking about here at Tzilchos Tohen V'Nitzan is only because there's no objective evidence. We're trying to figure out how to proceed based on claims and counterclaims when there's no objective evidence. No Shtar, no Adam. He claims one, he says A, he says B. How do we decide? Two good Jews, you know, each over the Cheskas Kashrus. How are we going to decide who's telling the truth? So if there is a mecha, but if there's a mecha, so that's the point. He has Gimel Shanim, he has the mecha. That's what it is. The Marakama can defend his interests by challenging and making sure that guy, he's not going to win a case if he's supposed to produce a shtar and he can't. So within 3 years, if the case comes to court within 3 years and the machzik cannot produce a shtar, he's going to lose. Now, what about after 3 years? If he hasn't objected, he has the right not to have a shtar. He'll win. What if he's objected within 3 years, but the case only comes to court after 5 years? He has to keep his shtar at least 3 years after the point of Bechah, if not more. We'll get to that. That's what we're talking about. There's no chazaka, there's no edim for the machzik. The marakama is established either by edim or shtar or odas paldin, but if it's odas paldin, then you get into this whole other complication with Peshas. It's very complicated, but it's very, very consistent.
The person that sold the field to the marakama has the shtar establishing him as the marakama.
I mean, the old, like the two marakamas ago?
Two sales before.
But do we have...
Established that this marakama, I...
Sold him?
Sold the land to him.
Then that he has a shtar.
No, the marakama doesn't have a shtar.
Why not?
The guy before him has a shtar. They said that he was a marakama.
The kone always has the shtar. If I buy a field from you, yep. I have the title.
Yeah, but maybe he didn't buy through a shtar. Maybe there's no shtar.
We're assuming the presumption in our Gemara is, otherwise it wouldn't be a problem of his Darnish Vishtar. It's true that technically you could be Kona Karka, Bekesipa, Bechazaka. The assumption is that even when you do, there's usually a Shtarai. And we're operating on the basis of that general assumption, that there's always a Shtarai. Karka is too precious to change hands without a deed.
If there's no Shtarai, can the person that sold the land.
If they're Adus, then.
No, without Adim. Can the. Of the person that is holding the shtar that
right.
He purchased it, you know.
I mean, old Marakama says that
he sold it to the Marakama. Comes to court.
He's an aid echad.
I sold this land to the Marakama.
He's one aid.
So that would not establish the Marakama as the Marakama.
No. Without a shtar, without edus, without hodas baldin from the lokeach. No. This is a mocher rishon. You're calling it.
Right.
No, because he's an aid echad. Is not more. Okay, that's a good question. Okay, let's get back to the. I'm sorry? A chazaka, in theory, if you have a taina and a chazaka, and you win, meaning enough to win, that would establish. Correct, that would also establish the status of Marakawa, vis a vis somebody in the future, 100%. That's true, that's another way. That's an important point, correct. Okay, one more time. So what is the nusach of the Mekah now? No, this is all fine, because we want to understand. These are all very important questions. Heichadami Mekah. The Gemara says, what does the Mekah sound like, look like, etc.? So the Gemara says, Amrav Zvid, Planya Gazlanahu, Lava Mekah. If you just say, this guy is a Gazlan, that doesn't do it. Planya Gazlana, who? The Nakat Leilaroi, the Gazlanusa, Alamachat, Tamara Labedina, Habe Mecha. But if he says he's a Gazlan, he's occupying my land illegally, tomorrow I will take him to court, right? That is a Mecha. Okay. Now, this, of course, let me just spend a few minutes on this. So, just the very fact that the Gemara has a Nusach of Mecha, to me, is very intriguing. The question is, what do we make of it? What we might make of it, at least the intriguing part, the question at least that it raises, is there a formal nusach mecha that you really have to stick to? I mean, it's not Torah shebichsav. There's no kichsavo. I don't mean that you have to have exactly this nusach, but at least do you have to have formally? Do you need these components? Meaning, number one, you're designating the gavra gazlan. Number two, you're describing his act of trespass. And number three, you are formally announcing your intention to take action, to take legal action. Let's say, for example, you didn't have all three. Now, the Gemara starts off by saying, if you just call the guy a Gazlan, that's nothing. So most Rishonim explain why. Because we don't know what it means. He doesn't like him. What does it have to do with this? Yeah? What does it have to do? Maybe he likes him. Calling him. I don't know. So that's what most Rishonim said. But, of course, it's not unreasonable to consider another possibility, and that is that Tony Gazlana, even if we know exactly what he means, is lacking in the formal, that's not the way you issue a legal challenge. You have to formulate things properly. Again, this idea that maybe you have to formulate things properly in the context of Mecha, right, is in keeping with the perspective that Mecha breaks up a Chazaka. Maybe the Chazaka is established, and there's a certain legal mechanism that you have to follow very strictly in order to overturn it, rather than saying the other perspective, which is basically the only reason why a Machzik ever wins is because the Marakama has not yet been Mocha and he is silent, and therefore you don't really require much. We just need to know that he's, you know, that he's not conceding here, and that he's not acting like a disinterested party, in which case the formality of a Nusach Mechah, or components in the Mechah, that whole idea is just incompatible with this other perspective. So that's number one. Pony Gazlana, as I say, pretty much Rishonim are Pe'achod, that simply it's a lack of, we just don't know what it has to do with this case. You know, he stole from me 20 years ago, he stole Metaltalin, he's just a bad guy. What does it mean? But let's say, for example, once you have the three components of the Mecha, let's say you skip the first, and you say, Ploni Nikita La Roy Begazlanusa Machala Tavana Libedina, or let's say you skip the last. Like you say, Nikita, Arai Begazlanusa Machar, say Ploni Gazlana, then Nikita Be Arai Begazlanusa, and you don't say Machar Atvana Bedina. At least now we know exactly what you're saying. You're saying he's a Gazlan, right? So this is a major machlokas Rishonim in its own right. Now, some of the Rishonim say that you have to mention all three components for very practical reasons, because until or unless you mention all three, maybe we don't think that you are serious enough about pressing charges, and when he hears that all you said was, let's say, Ploni, Gazlana, the Nakit, Arai, the Gazlanusa, and you didn't say Machar Tavana Lebedina, maybe you're angry, but he doesn't hold on to a shtark. You didn't threaten him with legal action. Or in the other direction, you know, if you just say, Nakita Bar Arai the Gazlanusa Machar Tavana Lebedina, but you don't say Gazlana, so maybe you're not upset enough at him. So what I'm saying is that even those who require all three, there are some Rishonim who require all three for practical reasons, meaning we want it to be clear to the machzik that, you know, action is going to be taken and he should hold on to his shtar. But, again, even from that point of view, if we're interested in shtikas marakama and making sure that there isn't shtikas marakama, presumably two of these three components, as long as we identify what it is that he's objecting to, should be sufficient. If you go one step further, just one second, and say, oh, this is a formal complaint, it has to overturn an existing, reality of chazakah, and therefore you need three components. You have to be, casting him in a certain light, you have to be describing his crime, and especially it's really important to be telling him formally, I'm taking you to court, then we can understand better why you need all three. Yeah?
Well, he has insulted.
So that's a good question. It doesn't seem like the Lamachar Tavar and Lebedina, the word Lamachar here is understood in very general terms, meaning, some point in the future. But I intend to take legal action. We'll see later on whether or not following through on a Mecha can be a problem. You know, in terms of, like, do you need one every 3 years? Let's say within the 3 years, if you don't repeat it. So that's also a very important question, whether follow-up is a reflection of anything, seriousness and so on. But we'll get to that soon. Look at, just very quickly, the Rashbam, and tell us, you'll see some of the discussion here. Hekadani Mecha. Firstly, Rashbam says that the idea of a Nusach Mecha is confined to Mecha Shalobafanav. Hekadani Mecha. He says, a Mecha Shalobafanav Kai. Tipasik Nil El to have a Mecha. Again, this seems to be gratuitous, meaning, why wouldn't you require a proper Nusach Mecha in a Mecha Befanav? Now, you could give a practical explanation, namely when you're looking at the guy in the face and you're saying, I hereby Mocha, so then, or you're a Gazlan, when he's on your Karka, so then there are no questions what you mean. If you're, if you're in Astamia and he's in Yehuda or Galil, so you better be explaining in detail what your intentions are, that you tend to come back, what exactly his crime is. Now, there could be practical reasons for this discrepancy, but either way, it's very interesting that the Rashbam chooses to make this distinction. Look now at the Amar of Zvid. Amar the Sadi Plani Gazlanu Lo Avim Mecha Filu Yomru Edim Loshen Zeh LeMachzik Lo Osi Lizdaruri B'Shtare. It's interesting. Rashbam keeps the Shmias here. He does at least the Shmias HaMachzik. He'll hear about it, but he won't take it seriously and hold on to his shtar. The Halayada Mai Karile Gazlan Shizar B'Shtaro. because he doesn't know what he wants from him. Right? But if he's mefarid, if he explains exactly what he means, then of course he has no excuse for not preserving his shtar. Then he goes on to explain. He quotes two early Rabbeim, two deos. He says, "V'i lo amar lemachar tavana lebedina." Let's say he omits the last clause, "Lemachar tavana lebedina." Ella, what he says is, "Ploni gazlan de kachal aray begazlanusa bilvad." He says clause number one and clause number two. So the Rashbam first quotes, "Hareu kenosein pagam bechavero, velo kemoser edus ve'enu mechah kein pirish rabenu chanano." This isn't good enough, unless he says the magic words, Machar Tavana Lebedina, it sounds like he's name-calling, not being Moser Edus. Now, does he mean by this again, the fellow isn't going to take him seriously? Or is he saying that you need a formal Machar, and a Machar has to be Belash and Edus? I'm sorry? Yeah. So the idea that, you know, Lashon Eidus, etc., Moser Be'edus, may imply that this is a formal requirement. We understand his intentions. We understand that he's upset. We might even think that he's serious, but he's not using legal language. This is not Kemoser Eidus. This is just, you know, striking out its defamatory language.
Is so much formality that we're concerned what the man really means. The whole Gemara,
yeah.
In every single case, it takes every case that the Kabbatim, Chatisada, whatever it is,
right.
The exactitude of what the man means. Is that a question asked to be formal? We never know what the
man means. Well, we know here what he means. I mean, he says he's a goslin. He's trespassing in my field.
A lot of people call people goslin.
No. He doesn't say goslin. He said, "You're trespassing in my field." So we know exactly what he's doing, but that's what the Rashbam, the Rach is saying. It's not it's kenosin pagam b'kavero, velokimoser. Even though we know what the crime is this, is he saying you're a horrible man? Look what you're doing, or is he saying I'm putting you on notice? I'm taking legal action.
What are you saying? This field is worth $1 million. The bank was the field for $500,000. And how you said you were Gosling, you were my field. But then that's not yours.
That wouldn't say it's not Kemoser Edus. That would be that far we're not going.
I'm just being very exact.
Maybe.
Really know what the man's talking about. The whole Gemara.
I'm just saying, that seems to be the chiluk between only saying, when you say Gazlano and don't say anything else, you're right.
Sure.
That seems more posher. That the question is, we just don't know what he wants. We know he has a gripe against this guy, but that's very far from knowing what he wants. Here we know exactly what he wants. He's saying, you're stealing my land. Not you're stealing my land, you stole me blind in the price. And, it's a capitalist society, whatever, you don't force him to accept that price. Clearly, he's saying, you don't belong in the field, you're a thief. The question is he just making a statement, or is this, part of a legal challenge? It does seem like it's a formality issue. Lashon Acher, Shamati Mishmuas Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Yaakov, this is one of Rashi's Rabbeim, right? The Ikar Planya Gazlanahu, Vapila Iskir Al Karka Zeshimachsik Lab Machahu, right? Shaharei lo micha machmas atzmo, v'harei kemisha amar ploni machzit b'karkol shel acherim. Well, the pogmo miskav. It's like he's defaming him. It has nothing to do with him. He's just saying, "Oh, you're a squatter. You're a trespasser in a field." Right? V'lo irer shereinu maskir shehu shelo. Havel empirish de ka'achal aroy de gazlanusa harei micha machmas atzmo v'hodiya shakarka shelo. Therefore, machzik ba'avla, the have mecha. He says, "Listen, it's the guy says gazlana." So he's just, what does it have to do with him? But once it's clear that it's personal, it's my karka. So then, if he omits machar tavana lebedina, but it's clear still that he's saying you are doing me an avla, that's sufficient. Afagav lo'sim lemachar tavana lebedina, who perish of the ma'ida ka'amar the ka'achal aroy begazlanusa. This is the view of Tosa. If you look at Tosas here on the bottom. Lamed Chesamid Beis, Tos says, Ulamachar Nakif Alein. near Lurie de Lotzarich Lameimer Nikitnale. This is the usual nosach, but this third component is not ma'akev. Because in the Gemara, they could have said, if it was really ma'akev, ploni gazlano de kachel aroi begazlanusel lo'av ha'mechah, ploni gazlano de kachel aroi begazlanusel lo'machar nekitla bedina, ha'mechah. Why does the Gemara say when he says gazlano, it's not good enough, but if he only has the first, it's not good enough? He needs all three. The Tosafot says he should have said, if he has the first two, it's not good enough. He needs all three. Obviously, what the Gemara meant was, you don't really need the third. The third is just, you know, what most people say. But you see that Rabbeinu Chananel didn't think that. Thought it wasn't true. Now, there's a really interesting discussion about this in the Tshuvas HaRashba. If you look here, there are two Tshuvas HaRashbas, but page 1, Chelek Hei Simen Kuf Yud Beis. Yeah, on the bottom of page 1. Everybody have that? So it's as follows. It goes as follows. Just look at the beginning. It's a certain din Torah between two people. One is accusing the other of squatting and trespassing in his land. I just cut out the, wanted to make it a little shorter. So Heshev Shimon, in the course of their discussion, the claims and counterclaim, the Taina and the other Taina, so Heshev Shimon. Shimon the Machzik says to Reuven the Marakama, Lo Machisabi. In addition to everything else, you did not level a proper challenge. The Tzorach Lomar, because a challenge is supposed to consist of what? That's the answer to your question. Tomorrow or the day after, right? Tavana le bedina. Uma'achadalo amras chain. Since you didn't formulate the mechah properly, he's not saying, I didn't understand you. Here. That's the argument. The argument is he didn't formalize it. It wasn't a legal document. Okay? Eina mechah. Ukesh shamati chain. When the guy heard this, he said, Amarti, I said, Ulai lecharifosi bilvadba. Right? Maybe he's just defaming me, and that's why I'm not taking it seriously. So Tan Reuven, Reuven the Marakama says, what are you talking about? You have to have exactly this nusach. There are the guidelines to make sure, like you said, that it's serious, so we know what it means. But it's not a formal document. You can say, oh, you you know, didn't cross your T's. You didn't dot your I's. The question here is pragmatic. What does he mean? Is he serious? Is he going after him, etc.? Then, an interesting raya. The Tedalach, says the Rajba. This is the Rajba's view. Sharim Amar Ma'arer, who Machar Karkal Acher. This is a Gemara, which we'll get to. But the Gemara on Lamed Amud Beis, the Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, says like this. Let's say, within the 3 years, in other words, what happens again, you have a Marakama, then you have a Machzik. Reuven's the Marakama, Shimon's the Machzik. Right? Shimon's been in the field for 2 years, not three. Instead of leveling a challenge, let's say the Marakama sells his field to someone else. In other words, Shimon already claims that he bought it from the Marakama. Marakama, after 2 years, sells the property to Levi. So the Gemara says about that case, Eimecha, Mecha, Gedola Mizu. That's the ultimate challenge. Okay, so the Rasba says like this: a mecher is a legal is the equivalent of a legal challenge. Where's the nusach hamecha? Right. So that's the Rasba's raya, the Tedalach. Sheharei im amar hamaarer umachar karka laacher kodim shiaspik hamachzik laachzik gimel shanim. If within the 3 year time period he sells the land to someone else, the Marakama, have a mecha. That's what the Gemara says. The Alav Bishalamar Ploni Gazlanahu, the Lomikal Osa Lashon Shorazvid Klal. Right? Skip down four lines from the bottom. Alma, kol shenir mitoch ma'atza, v'olashono, shumocha bedafka, demisha mochzik makarka, hava macha. Otei debris, another raya, etc. Now, what's interesting is, there's a very interesting Rebbeinu Yonah on this Gemara, on Lamed Tes Lamed Aleph, on Lamed Tes Lamed Beis. I mentioned before that we'll see the Gemara inside, but this is, seems to be a discussion, possibly Machlokas HaSugyas. Do you need to be mocha once or every 3 years? Right? So if you look at the Gemara, just look at very, very quickly for 1 minute. The Gemara in Lamed Tes Lamed Beis, just for 1 minute, we'll just go out of sequence, but...
Does the Mechira have a cold? Mechira itself has a cold?
Yeah, for sure. That's why it's a good Mechira. The Rajba is saying, but there's no Nusach. So he says, you see, the Nusach, it just shows your intention. It's not a legal prerequisite, per se. It's not a formal requirement. Oh. So the Gemara says... Here, it's a very interesting story. We'll get back. We have to talk about it anyway. The Gemara says Gidl Bar Minyumi. See the little Aleph of the Bach? It's right before that. Gidl Bar Minyumi Havelei Mechiyasa LeMechuye. Gidl Bar Minyumi was a Marakama. He had a piece of property. He felt somebody was trespassing in it, and he wanted to level a challenge. So what did he do? Hashkechinu LeRav Huna LeChia Barav LeRav Chilkia Bar Tuvi. He got together three people. The Gemara, the Rishonim talk about the fact, why did he need three? We really pass, and you only need two. So they were all there. He got them three. He didn't need them, but he got them. Tavi Yosvi, and they were sitting around. Umocha Kamayu, and he objected about what was going on in their presence. Lishana, a year later, Hadar, Asalim Chuyeh, he came back, and he wanted to be Mocha again, a second time, next year. So Amrulay, we'll discuss this more fully later, but Amrulay, they said to him, Lo Trichas Hachi, you don't need to be Mocha every year. Amrav, Hachamarav, sorry, Lo Trichas, Hachamarav, Kivin Shemicha Shana Rishona, Shuvenetarech Limchos. Once you have leveled your challenge, you don't need to do it again. Some Rishonim read this line in the Gemara. All you need is a challenge once. You don't need every 3 years. You certainly don't need every year. Others interpret that what it means is you don't need every year within the 3 years. Every 3 years is fine. Ikad Amri, some say, Amalechia Barav, Kim Chemichel Shana Rishona, Shuvenetzorech Limchos. Once you've objected the first year, you don't need any more. Amri Shlakash Rishim Bar Kapara, Vetzorech Limchos, Vetzorech Kol Gimel Vagimel. But every 3 years, you need to be Mocha. Then the Gemara says, Tei Bar Rabbi Yochanan asked, Dechigazel Yeshet Chazaka. What do you mean? Why do you need to object a second time? After all, once you've called the guy a Goslin, why do you need to keep leveling machos? So the Gemara says, after all, Goslin doesn't have a chazaka. So the Gemara says, Goslin so kedaitach. You didn't prove that he's a Goslin, you just accused him of Goslin. The rule that Goslin in the chazaka is when we know he's a Goslin. Ella, ki Goslin, yesh the chazaka. Then finally the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, nechazatzorek, limkos besof kol gimel v'gimel. You have to object every 3 years. So if you look at Tosus, Tosus here asks a question. Tzorach Limchos Tzov Kol Gimel. We'll just look at it very quickly. Tosus says, I'm sorry, the wrong one, yeah. No, this is this one, but I just want to read the whole thing. Well, high timer, you see that? In Tosfos Rabbah of Tzorach Limchos, go around halfway down, a little more than halfway down. Well, high timer, everybody see that? Hod Amar Le'el, the Gemara that he's talking about is this Gemara about the Mechira, where the guy sold the car after 2 years, so the Gemara says, Ein lecha mecha gedol lemizu, and it sounds in the Gemara like he never has to object ever again. Right? So the high time Adam Leel Havalacha Shis Shnin, if you eat 6 years, you have a 6 year chazaka. But the guy was Mocha, but the guy was sold it after 2 years. In other words, before your chazaka, was established, your first your chazaka was established after 3 years. Within 2 years, he sold the karka, and now you've held on to it since then another 4 years, right? So the Gemara says, "Ein lecha mecha gedola mizu." The sale is the biggest mecha you can imagine. So what do we see from that Gemara? Again, the mecha took place when? Year two, but in the form of mechira. The guy's holding on to it for 6 years, and he's not going to win ever. But don't you have to be mocha every 3 years? So after 5 years, you should have to be mocha again.
Even if he owned it, even if he legitimately bought it.
Who's the he? You got to be confused.
The one with the chazaka shtar, even if he legally bought it from the Murakama, the shtar is dated before the second sale. There's no way he could prove it, even if he had the
star. No. He claims that he bought it before the other fellow sold it.
Right, but he should have
to Levi. Then his star, if he had a star, that would prove that he's right.
Even if he had the star, his star is dated 2 years before the second.
Great. That proves that he's the owner. In a star, dating is good. Great. No. But he has a chazaka for three. He has 2 years. Remember, this is what happened. He has 2 years. Then there was a mecha by means of mechira. Then he has another 4 years
afterwards.
Now here we're saying in our Gemara that you have to be mocha every 3 years. I mean, if you did a mecha in year two, and the guy held on to it through years five, six, and you were mocha from year two to year six, then he would win. So it's against that earlier Gemara. One second. Just switch, one side.
The new buyer has to make the macho.
So the new buyer should have to make the macho. But we're saying that the lokeach, we're saying that the machzik loses. You're right. That's the question. Somebody should have to make the macho. Either the old marakama or the new buyer. That's what you would think. One second. You wouldn't think?
No, we're guided by objective evidence, what you're saying.
Right.
We have to see. If the Monokama was able to sell it
right
to another party, to Levi, the objective evidence is that Levi did his due diligence, his Hakira Drisha, to see if...
That's not fair. I mean, Levi may know about the dispute and may not know any due diligence. I mean, he may be, for some reason, he's willing to take the chance, but that doesn't prove anything. That's not testimony. That's not evidence.
But Levi is satisfied that he indeed is...
That's great for Levi, but when did Levi become the arbiter?
It's great for title from the Morikama.
Why?
Because Levi would not have...
So there's a kanunya between, there's a collusion between... between Reuven and Levi. Reuven, you know, hires a stooge called Levi.
Well, okay.
He anyway sold the property to Shimon. What does he have to lose? That doesn't prove anything. That's
a fabricated sale. You're right, but
that's what Shimon claims. Shimon claims that the property is his, so it's a fabricated sale. That's not a new claim. I mean, that's implicit, right? Levi doesn't prove anything. But so what? Just one more second. So Tosas here says that Gemara seems to say that you need one Mekah. Our Gemara here seems to say every 3 years you need a Mekah, correct? So the Gemara says, these two Gemaras, pligi ahachta acha, there's a Mechokas between two Gemaras. Fine. The Kavar de Tzarklim calls Kogimah. Our Gemara says Kogimah Nira, the Kahi Okasa, the Stam of the Gemara Kamar, La, the Lo Kamar Shapasak Rachta, Alacha Kabar Kapara. So Tosa says the Mechokas Asukyas, and we pass it like the previous Sukyas, you only need a single Mekah. End of story. Now, most Rishonim do not hold like this Tosas. And they do try, work hard to answer the Stira. So what's the answer to the Stira? Well, number one, it depends on, I don't want to get too far, maybe we'll sum it up when we get back to this later, but number one, it depends, what's the problem? Why do you need to keep repeating the Mekah every 3 years? So some Rishonim explain, or Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rajba, they say, listen, you know why you have to keep repeating it every 3 years? Because Igloi Milsa L'Mafreya, either that he wasn't so serious about it, or the other fellow's Mizdarish Bishtare, right? So he has another 3 years. But after 3 years of this complaint, he still hasn't heard from you, right? So he has to hold on to it forever. So you have to refresh in order to establish either your seriousness or his taking you seriously in terms of the Zoharis Bishtari and being a Reyes of Ach Bishtarek, the Rishonim say, so you have to refresh the Mecha every 3 years. But if he sold it, he washed his hands of it. And on the contrary, he can't not be serious because there's a third party that's affected. So obviously he's not just being frivolous about it. That's a technical way to explain the difference. However, the Rabbeinu Yonah, why am I telling you all this now? Could have waited until Lamed Tesla days. It's important for now. Rabbeinu Yonah has an interesting on Lamed Omed Aleph. Rabbeinu Yonah also says it this way. But Lamed Tesla days, I don't have it here, because Rabbeinu Yonah is not in the Bar Ilan, at least not in my version of it. But Rabbeinu Yonah has a great line. He says, the difference is, when the Gemara says, Ein lecha gedola mizu, what it means is, that the mecha of Mechira and the mecha of mecha qualitatively are different. The mecha is words. The mecha of Mechira is an assertion or reassertion of the bailus and the markah. That part, this explanation is mine. He just says, there's a qualitative difference between these two. And then Rabbeinu Yonah adds, which is why I'm doing all this now, he says, Teidalach, you know what, you want to know the proof that it's not just that Mechira is more of a mecha, but that is qualitatively a different kind of mecha? You want to know the proof? The proof is, you don't need the nusach mecha. Now compare Rabbeinu Yonah and the Tshuva Sarajba. What did the Tshuva Sarajba invoke Mechira's lack of nusach mecha to prove? That the nusach mecha to begin with is really not a formal requirement, it's just a pragmatic right necessity to know what you're talking about. Because after all, in the case of Mechira, where it's clear that he's challenging, you don't need a nusach mecha. The Rajba, in other words, assumes that there's no fundamental difference between the mecha of Mechira and the mecha of Dibur. And the fact that there's no fundamental difference, and you can drop the nusach, shows you that the nusach was never part of the formality. It isn't a legality, it's just it's a way of conveying intention. But the Rabbeinu Yonah, by trying to prove that Mechira is different, and therefore remember the consequence for Rabbeinu Yonah, right? And it's not a pragmatic explanation. Are they the Mecha of Mechira? You only need one. Right, lasts all the years. The mecha of Dibur, you have to refresh it every 3 years. How do I know there's such a qualitative difference? Because otherwise, wouldn't you need the nusach mecha and mechira? So maybe your Rabbeinu Yonah is the shita that says the nusach of the mecha is quite serious. Okay,
well,
let's continue.
I assume that when the Harakama sells, that he's doing it as a person of integrity. Maybe he had really sold it, and now he's selling it again.
Well, that's possible. I was talking about Kaninya before, too. That's why I don't think that in itself proves anything. But we don't need it to prove anything. We only need it to count as a mecha.
It asserts his ownership.
Right.
It asserts his claim.
And that it does.
Yeah.
I mean, the Gemara only says, Ein lecha mecha gedola mizu. And from that point of view, we don't have to take any sides as to whether this is a fraud or not. But he is going on record, he's not being silent. He's going on record as saying, this is my karka within 3 years. And doing so in dramatic fashion by not only challenging the other fellow's legality, but by asserting his own bailus. That's the difference. Okay, now, let's go back to the Gemara now.
A machor should trigger in the muzah that he should hold on to his shtar.
Yeah.
What should a mechira trigger?
That he should hold on to his shtar.
And do nothing?
No. Meaning, that's all he has to do. He has to hold on to, if he ever holds on to his shtar and the case ever comes to court, he'll win. Because his shtar antedates this mechira. The mechira takes place 2 years into the chazaka. Let's say the year 2000. The machzik claims in the year 2000, I bought this karka from the Marakama. Right? The year 2002, the Marakama sells it to Levi. In the year 2006, let's say, or five, whatever the case may be, right? The case finally comes to court. Now, if the machzik can ever produce the shtar, because he was a zara nish mishtare, he knew the other guy was gunning for him, because within 3 years, he's already claiming to sell it to Levi. Okay. So if he holds his shtar since the year 2000, if he has it...
He should have made a machor immediately at the time of the mechira.
Who?
The machzik.
He doesn't have to. He's always claimed it's his. He just has to hold on to his shtar. No one can throw him off. If whenever the court case... takes place, he comes to court and he shows a shtar with the year 2000 on it, he wins because Levi's shtar says 2002 and 2000 Reuven was no longer the Bailim. Reuven can't sell what he doesn't own anymore. All the Matzik has to do is hold on to a shtar. Now again, you're right, as soon as he hears about it, he should go to court and say, here's my shtar, let him leave me alone.
Let him delay for a while, he doesn't care.
Yeah. If he doesn't, it's still fine as long as he has a shtar, if he's been warned. Now, if he knows the guy's gunning for him, you know, then in 2002 he pulled off a rival, you know, competing Mechira, right? And by 2004 or 5, he's not holding on to his shtar. That's like giving, like throwing away your shtar within 3 years.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. Okay. Possibly. Possibly. That may be what he has in mind.
If a person sells a field to a circuit, he sells it to
Shah Amanas Shah,
Shatafsi, Basadi, Shalom Shonim, and after the second year he sells it to somebody else. Can he do that?
I mean, can a person make a tnai in a mechira,
right,
say, I don't, don't use the word toxic, because it just is a little confusing given our topic. Let's say he says, I hereby sell you this on condition that you not resell it for at least 3 years. Is that what you're asking?
No. He sells it to a person, I'm asked that you should be all called payless in this deal for 3 years, and after 2 years,
he violates his tnai.
He sells it to somebody else.
I mean, is it a violation of the Tanai of their Mecher?
Can the Mocher do that? Can he sell to another?
Yes, a Mocher owns a Karka. He can impose, and unless it's something that is anti-halachic, I mean, and even then, you know, Masa Masha Kosa B'Torah B'Tanai Dover Shev Mamun is Kayim, so it would have to be not just anti-halachic, but anti-definitional from a halachic point of view. A Mocher can impose any kind of Tanai that he wants on a lokeach, but that's midin tnai, not midin. That's not halacha in hilchos mechira. That would be halacha in hilchos tnai. Right.
Tnai
kofel. What? You might require tnai kofel. I mean, what doesn't require tnai kofel? That's a topic in its own right. Right. But assuming that the regular mishpatei tnaim were the basis for this, then you know the answer is yes. Yeah.
Just for instance, if we don't remain in a hell.
Yeah.
Like the Rashba.
Right. Mostly he holds that. Yeah.
Right. So he comes out here.
Right. As I say, it isn't totally. It doesn't work out perfectly. That part of it, 100%. It's a good hara. Again, to be honest, when he draws the distinction between Mechar and Mecha on Laminoid base, Laminoid Aleph, he speaks the same language as the Rashba and the Rush and others. A very practical distinction. But as it happens, on Lamed Tes, he has that line. Is it just a great line, you know, which he kind of gets carried away with, but, you know, isn't so much consistent? Sometimes that can happen in Rishonim, too. Your point, in terms of the consistency, is a very good point. It's an excellent point. It bothers me as well. I just think it's an amazing line. Okay. Let's continue. Lamed Tes Lamed Aleph. So... the Gemara says the second line. Amar lo temrule mai. Let's say the guy, the Marakama, when he issued his challenge in front of two people, he said, don't repeat it. Right? Or don't, I should say. Don't repeat it to him. I should say. So what's the halakha? Amar Amar lo temrule. He's trying to suppress the mechah, so obviously it's not a good mechah. Again, because that proves that he's not really being sincere, or because it's not going to get communicated and the issue is the hearing of the mafsik. But that's, we're not sure. So the Gemara says, Rapapa Amar, we pass him like Rapapa. No. L'dide lo temerle. L'achrini, emerlehu, chaber isle. As long as he doesn't say suppress it, he just says don't tell it directly to the mafsik, that's fine, because we still rely on the grapevine. Now, this is an interesting argument. What are they really arguing about? I mean, they both agree, chaber chaber isle. So is the argument whether chaber chaber isle is effective enough when the when there's an initial limitation on the first, you know, audience? In other words, if you have an audience, if your first audience is, you know, free to do what they want, they can even actually, you know, transmit the message directly, so then there's a 95% or 90% chaver chaver isle effectiveness. And if not, there's only a 70%. Is that the argument? Or is the argument that effectiveness there might be, but again, from a formal point of view, need a mecha, you have to give it a mecha in front of people who at least have the potential to transmit. And just like zakein b'chola on a physical impediment level, here, when he tells them, I insist, you not be the ones to transmit this, maybe on some level it interferes. Right? Something to think about. The Gemara says, let me just give you another marshal of that. Tosas here, which I'm not going to read because it'll take a little bit too long, but Tosas here, Lamed Chesed Beis, Ein Machzikim Edichsei Boreach, and again, Lamed Tesem Nal, Tibur Masa Leisei Vaduchta, Ulamichsei, talk about the question of Mecha Shelo Bafanav, Hava Mecha or not. So, it seems according to Tosas, that even if you hold chabra chabra isle, you could still hold that mecha shalom b'fanav lo have a mecha. These two tosas. Normally we assume the two go hand in hand, right? If you think chabra chabra isn't effective, then you're going to say you need a mecha b'fanav because you can't rely on the grapevine. But if it's an effective grapevine, use it. But these two tosas seem to say that the man damar who says mecha shalom b'fanav lo have a mecha, it's not because he thinks that chaver chaver is not islay. The grapevine is just as effective for him as it is for anyone else. So what's the problem? The explanation might be exactly the same as what I'm suggesting right now, which is, the grapevine, everybody agrees on its efficiency. 100%, 90%, whatever you need. Let's say 100%, just to make it easier. But maybe there's a formal requirement in mecha of b'fanav. Maybe part of, just like you might need a nusach, maybe you have to actually look the guy in the eye when you challenge him legally. You're not allowed to do a long distance challenge. That would be a very important shita. Okay, let's continue. So Omrule, similarly, Omrule lo Amrinamle, let's say he said to them, you know, please transmit this to the machzik, you know, with my blessing. And they said, we're not going to speak to the machzik. Is that a problem? The initiative comes from them. Now, here, the issue presumably is one of communication effectiveness, not sincerity, because from his point of view, the Marakama's point of view, you know, he was perfectly happy that they should transmit. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Zvid, how come they lo amrin amai? They said they're not going to do it. It's not a good bacha. That's a big chiddush. The Rashbam, commenting on that, says, So the simple pshat of the Gemara is that it's a communication problem. It's going to interfere with the chavra chavra. The way the Rashbam says it, though, is a little different. He is then obligated to pick others, and if he doesn't, then it's a chisar. What do you mean? He did his. If you're gauging his sincerity, right, as long as he originally thought that they were going to transmit it, and there still is chavra chavra, what's the problem? But if you say again that the transmission or level of transmission is also part of the formal requirement of mecha, if it's a mecha, shaloni tenes, lishmiya, even though that doesn't reflect badly on his sincerity. He meant it, but now that he knows that it's a mechash and an itanis l'shmiya, He has to do something about it because it's disqualified as a mechah. That's part of the formality of a mechah. Okay. Rav Papa Amar, this is how we paskin, l'didei lo amrina le, l'achrini amr le, chavre chavre yisle, v'chavre d'chavre, chavre yisle. Again, he also says, just because they say they're not going to transmit directly doesn't mean they're not going to transmit indirectly, and the grapevine is efficient. Okay. Then finally, amr lehu lo tefek lehu lehu shuta. Let's say he says to them, not a word, I don't want this to get out, stifle it completely. Don't tell anyone. Not just don't tell him directly. It's not a good mecha because he suppressed it. Let's say they say to him, they take the initiative, they say, we are not going to spread this at all. We're not telling anyone. They said, we're not spreading it. Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua Amar Kol Nilsa De La Rami Aled De Inish Amar Lava Lava Daite. It's true they said we're not going to tell anybody, but we don't believe them, or we're not sure that they're not going to. La Halacha, if you look at the Rashbam says Din Rasa Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. Look at the last line. B'Hilchasa Bein Amar Hamemache Lo Teimro Le Midi Mehani Mili Lamachsik, Bain Amru Lomafkin and Shuta, the Kula Havan Mecha, Bar Mid Amru Hamamacha, the Lotepik Lushuta Lahavan Mecha, the Kain Pasak Rach. The only one where we paskin that it really disqualifies is Lotepik Lushuta. When it's his initiative, he tells them don't do it. Don't cut anything out. There are other Rishonim who think that Mecha, if Nation Abed Adam Shane Nichalim Lomarlo, also is Ma'akev. That's the Machlokas Rishonim, do we paskin like Rab or Shmuel on Lamed Ches Amud Beis? But again, what is the argument here? This idea of Kol Mili De La Rami Aled the Inish Amar La Balava Daik is a fascinating. I mean, Halacha we paskin, if they said we're not going to tell anybody, that's fine. Because they might. They might, but if they stated their intentions, it doesn't mean that they're likely to. So once again, if the focus is Shmiya Samaksik, as opposed to, right, the fact that there's no Shnika Samarakama, you'd have a problem. It's one thing to say, we don't know what their really intentions are, what their intentions are. It's quite something else to say this is something you can rely on. Now, what would happen in the following case? The one case that we all agree is no mecha is a case where he says to them, lo tafika l'chushuta, don't let anything out. Let's say they heard this and they defied him. He said, don't tell anybody. They went to the machzik and they said, this guy is challenging your right to trespass, to your right calling you a trespasser. Gemara doesn't have this case. It's a really interesting case. But let's, now, if they said he told us to suppress it, right, so then probably this would not constitute a mecha because he doesn't take them seriously. Right? What do you mean? It's a challenge, but he's not telling anybody. Throw out the shtaros. But let's say they didn't tell him that. They said, you know what? The guy is calling you a thief. He's saying you're a trespasser. He told us he's coming after you. They forgot to mention the last part. He told us don't breathe a word of it. So as far as the machzik is concerned, he's getting a good mecha, but it isn't coming from the marakama. That's a really interesting case. Exactly. So, this is a discussion of the shach and the ksos. Look here at Simen Kuf Mem Vav. This is on page one. Here. Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Mem Vav. Everybody have it? Okay. Afilo im yomru sif gimel. Afilo im yomru ha'edim shemicha b'fneihem. Lo higadnu l'shem adam. Right, we didn't tell anybody. Afilo hachim b'cha levata l'chazaka. Kivin shu micha karoi v'samach aleim shemro salachem achem yomru lo. Even if he told the Edom when he called them together, Al Tomru Lo, don't tell him. Oh, Shehim Amru Me'atzmam, they took the initiative. They said, Lo, no, my Lo, we won't tell him. Harei Mecha. Shehim Yomru La Cheirim, Ba Cheirim Yomru Lo. Because in the end, the word will get out. Afilo Amru Lo Notzi Davar Zeh Mipinu. Even if they say, we're not telling anyone. Hava Mecha. The Milsad Lamer Lan Yiddish, Amar Balava Daite. Abluhu Amar La Yetze, Davar Zeh Mipichem. If he says, don't breathe a word of it, Lo Hava Mecha. That's the Shulchan Aruch. So look at the next piece, the Ksos. Quotes the Shah. Zeh Lashon HaShach, Sivkot and Gimel. Shach says, Afilo Amar Lo Shem Micha. Kiven Shomer Lo, Shomer Lahem. It's no good. If they defy, this is a Shach's Kiddush. If they defy his wishes and they tell the Machzik about the Mecha, but they add, he told us not to breathe a word of it, says the Shach, it's not a Mecha. So the Ksos says, Vinir Midvarav, but it sounds from the way the Shach said it, Dim Amru Lo Shemicha Velo Simu Be Kamei Velo Simu Kamei Shomer Lo Yetzei Adavar Mipichem to have a Mecha. Let's say he just cut off the last sentence. He said the guy is calling you a liar, he's giving you a Mecha, he's making a Mecha, and they forgot to say to him, by the way, he told us not to tell a word. So the Machzik's under the impression that this guy's coming after him. So now it's damaging when he can't hold on, when he doesn't hold on to his shar, because he should be thinking that he's in trouble. On the other hand, the Marakama didn't make a real Mecha. So what you have here is perfect, exactly what we're interested in. Right? We have no Mecha mitzad a Marakama, right? But we have a Mecha, or the Reisa, of not responding to a Mecha, mitzad a Machzik. This is the flip opposite case of the one we already spoke of, which is the Marakama makes a Mecha legitimately, but the Machzik doesn't hear about it. These are opposite cases, but they're the same litmus test. In both cases, we have a Mecha Mitzad 1. That's classically, you have a Mecha. If you have a Mecha, the Marakama is Mocha, and the Machzik, you know, should hold on to his star. If you don't have a Mecha, it's because the Marakama didn't do it properly, right? And the Machzik didn't hear about it.
Can we say Palgin and Dugura? Yeah. Let's accept that which is proper.
What do you mean?
The Lashon Mecha was there. It's just what he added on is bad.
Right. And then the rest, so if you look at it from the perspective of the Isdarinish Mishtare, from the perspective of the Machzik, he doesn't know what's true and what's not true. For all he knows, he's acting like a guilty party. That's what you're saying.
Sure.
But from the perspective of the Marakama, has he legally issued a proper protest?
No.
So now the question is, just let me finish the Ksos. So the Ksos says, this is what the Shach says, it sounds like the Shach thinks that in this case, we would consider this a Mecha. Right? Amnam, says the Ksos, Nira d'chiheche, the im lo haya Mecha klal, Ksos says, what would happen in the following case? Let's say the guy didn't say anything. Let's say two guys, two witnesses, two fellows show up one day to the Machzik, and they say the Marakama, he challenges you. And the Marakama doesn't say a thing. Never mind that he says that he tells them to stifle it. He never objected at all. He never knew about it even. Maybe it's in China or Spamia. He never even heard there was a chazaka. So what will you say in that case? So the Ksos says, if there's a Zdar and Ishmishtare problem, there's a Reisa, because he thinks there's a challenge, and he still can't produce a Shar, but there's absolutely nothing from the Marakama, because he doesn't even know about anything, or he didn't do anything. This is a big assumption. There are two assumptions in the Ksos. Number one, he thinks it's such a davar pashut that if somebody were to fabricate a mecha, then it wouldn't work. I mean, he's probably right about it, but there's no gemara, there's nothing, no evidence about it, and logically it's not so obvious. It just seems crazy. Right? That's assumption number one. Assumption number two is that an illegal machah, an ineffective machah, is the equivalent of no machah or a fabricated machah. It could be that if I say lo tafiko lechushuta, right, that's not a machah al pidin. Right? But it's not the same as fabricating a machah. It's an ineffective machah. It's not the same as no machah. The Kesel's assuming it's no machah. Once they find out that it was an illegal makah, the equivalent of no makah, a fabricated makah, right? In fact, some Achronim point out, this really may be a debate between the Rimigash and the Yadraman, a later Gemara, which we're not going to have time to discuss now. I'm already over time. The Gemara later on talks about a case where the Marakama was Mocha every 3 years. Every 3 years he was Mocha in a different way, in a contradictory. 1 year he said, I rented it to him. 3 years later he said, he stole it from me. 3 years after that, he said something else. The question is, when does this machah get contradicted to such an extent that the chazak is the chazak? Anyway, without going into details right now, there might be a debate between the Rimagash and the Ramah. But this case and that case are perfect litmus tests to the issue. If you need a formal machah to break up an existing chazaka, you don't have it because the Marakama didn't do a proper machah. But if you're worried about the fact that the machzik, right, doesn't have any excuse for a shtar, and as long as that reyus is there, he should never be machzik, then there's a lot of merit to what the shach seems to imply.